Welcome again to Revival Today. The message today is take your peace back. First of all, I want to say to everyone, it's good to be back, as I mentioned earlier. And I just want you to know that it's important to understand that God wants us to realize that we need one another. Turn to somebody and say, I need you. If it was only about Jesus all by himself, he wouldn't have had his disciples. He had a team that was with him that could be with him in his journey. I want you to know that God has brought us together for a reason, and he places people and those around us for a support system. That's why we need one another. But today I'm going to talk about something today because I believe that the church has lost its understanding of their purpose. I want you to know that the world is complex and that we are going through a lot of challenges in our life, but God wants us to understand that he not only give you life, but I always say he give it to you what? More abundantly. So what is more abundantly? More than enough. I thank God for the testimonies, because the testimony was this morning was talking about how the brother said he was being finally blessed financially, but all of a sudden he realized that, you know, I can be blessed financially, but unless I'm blessed through the Lord, I can't maintain what I have. So I'm going to talk about that this morning, because I'm going to talk to you about the word that God put in my heart was you to take your peace back. Turn to somebody and say, I want to take my peace back. See, the enemy's job is to steal, kill, and destroy, and he is trying to take away what God has already promised you. Now, it's one thing to get something from doing what you can to get there, but when you put God to the side, guess what? You're going to lose your peace. And I'm going to talk to you about the disciples of Christ. It is important to understand that when Christ was here, he could have been all by himself. I'm glad you mentioned what you said. He could have done it on his own. He didn't need nobody. But yet he had a team of disciples, and he began to show them the way. That's why he said, follow me and I will teach you how to be fishers of men. Do you want to be a fisher of men? If you want to be a disciple to somebody, if you want to disciple somebody, that means they got to get close to you. They have to hang around you. And so how do you build the church that God is trying to go forward with is that you have to disciple and be around one another. So I'm going to talk about this here, because Jesus had a team of disciples, and he would talk to them. He would relate with them. He would share with them. How many of you, sometime you're going through and you talk with somebody and you get encouraged. That's what it's all about, is being there for one another. Jesus was trying to prepare the disciples to go forward. He knew that he wasn't going to be here long, and he had to put everything that he could into them so that they could sustain, so that they can move about on their own. So many times we as Christians, we want to encourage somebody, but then we begin to control them rather than letting God sow into them, and then all of a sudden they can fly for themselves. This is what it's all about. So with Jesus, with the disciples, he said, I'm going to go away. I'm going to go and prepare a place. But guess what? There are going to be things that you're going to go through that you're going to face because you're one of mine. And because they were one of his, they were going to go through some things. But he was trying to let them know that you have to go and do the work that I've given you, but you got to maintain your peace. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Jesus was teaching his disciples how to respond when people don't receive them. He tells them so that they were not surprised. And that's what I'm going to talk about, because a lot of times we think that everything that we're going to do according to the word of God is going to just happen without no stress. But Jesus was teaching his disciples how to be wise. Turn to somebody and say, learn how to be wise. Jesus also was teaching his disciples that when bitterness gets on you, and it will, you have to shake it off. And I'm going to talk about this because a lot of times we go into things with a good heart and we try to bless somebody with a good heart and then you walk away with bitterness. How many of you have done something good for somebody? You say, wow, I did that for them and now this is how they treat me? This is what they do to me after I done blessed them? You know how many people have come and said, Lord, Pastor, I want you to help and whatever. Do you know that there's been many people that I was able to help from my own household and they never came back? And you think that's a test against God? You say, Lord, what's going on? Well, I'm helping people. Why don't they give it and bless back? This is the work of a disciple. And I want you to know is don't get discouraged. Turn to somebody and say, don't get discouraged. There'll be a time when you go to one town and that town will receive you and the next town will reject you. And this is what Jesus began to teach his disciples. So I'm going to have a conversation with you today to get you to another level of understanding. So turn to somebody and say, take your peace back. First of all, in Psalms 46, if you have your Bibles, and I want to encourage you to bring your Bibles to church, get to know your word. Psalms 46, and it's up there. First verse, it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Turn to someone and say, we will not fear. So this is saying God is what? A refuge and strength. This is what God is. That's what God represents. He is your refuge and your strength and a very present help in the time of trouble. This is how it works. And so he already made it clear in his word. You have to already know this is what he is. He's your help in the time of trouble. Next scripture I want you to look at is Matthew 10. 1 and 2. And it says, when he had called his 12 disciples. Now, this is Jesus. He's getting with his crew. He's with his crew and he's done a lot of things with his crew and he's going to talk to them. He says this. He says, when he had called his 12 disciples with him, to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of diseases. So when Jesus got his crew together and they were listening, they were walking in holiness, he began to give them something. He gave them power. He gave them power to do certain things. He didn't leave them without anything. He said, I'm going to give you what you need to get the job done. So many times what we do with one another, we give people information, but we don't give them enough to get it done. You ever go to a company and they say, yeah, don't tell everything because you want job security. But Jesus gave his 12 disciples everything that they needed. So he said, he turned to his 12 disciples and said, I will give you power over unclean spirits. There's things that are going on in your life. And Jesus said, if you're my disciple, I gave you some power. I gave you power over unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all kinds of diseases. This is what he has done for you. This is what he's making you to be. He's making us to be somebody that can do great things. And this is what I want to talk about today because I'm going to go into your peace. Now, Jesus talked all about this power and said, I'm going to give you power to do many things. Now, what we do as Christians, oh, great, I have power. And we go about and we begin to do things. And you begin to say, well, you know what? I want to do this. And all of a sudden, you find out that if you do it in Jesus' name, it is coming forward. And this is what the disciples realized. They said, listen, wow, I can do these things in Jesus. But then Jesus began to go in deeper with them. And this is where I'm going in to take your peace back. He began to go deeper. So this is where we get excited. You ever talk to somebody and they was with you and you wanted to bless them with something, they don't know that you're going to bless them with something, you begin to tell them and they perk up and say, wow, I'm excited now. So this is what happened with the disciples. They were excited. He said, I'm giving you power to cast out spirits. And I'm giving you power to overcome sickness and all kinds of diseases. But then he began to talk to his disciples and say, this is where I want to go with the word this morning. I believe that the church has power and that we have things that we need to do. But a lot of times we don't realize, but the enemy is taking away our joy. He has taken away your strength. And that's why I came out with that scripture where it says that he's your very present help. He said, God is our refuge and strength and a very present help in a time of trouble. This is who God is. This is how you define him. He is there when you need him most. And what we do is we get on our feet and we leave God behind. And we don't realize that, guess what? Your peace has been left behind because you left God somewhere on the sideline. And this is what I'm going to talk to you today. So in this scripture in Matthew 10, 11, and 15, that's where we're going. Those of you that have your Bible, it says, now whatever city or town you enter, inquire who is in it is worthy. And stay there until you go out. So Jesus is talking to disciples. He's saying to them, listen, you got power to do the healing. You got power to do casting out some spirits. You got all kind of things I'm giving you. But he says, when you go out to do the work that I've given you to do, I want you to understand, you got to discern and know where you're going. So he says, when you go into the city or town you enter, acquire who is in it that is worthy and stay there till you go. Then the next verse says, and when you go into the house, greet it. Says, and if the household is worthy, let your peace come upon it. Turn to somebody and say, let your peace come upon it. So he said, if it's worthy, let your peace come upon it. But it says next, it says, if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. Okay, now this is what Jesus is saying. He said, if you go into a house or if you go into somewhere and it's worthy of your presence, let your peace be upon it. I'm going to show you, Christians, how to understand that you can have peace. But then in the next scripture, what it says here, but if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever will not receive you nor hear your words when you depart from that house or city, shake the dust off your feet. Surely I will, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city or house. And I want to talk about that here. Jesus was telling the disciples that when you go somewhere, sometime they're not going to receive you. Sometime people debate with you. You ever been in a situation where you talk to somebody and they just debated with you? And so the disciples didn't know, but Jesus was talking about how to maintain your joy, how to maintain your strength, how to maintain your things. He said, when you go in and you do a work, and if they don't receive it, you have to still take your peace back. What we do in our regular life, we are dealing with things in our life and we're getting all caught up in it. And what we do is we walk away with no peace. And God is saying to the body that the body is losing their peace because they're trying to do a work that is good. But when they get in a circumstance, they find that their peace has left them. And I want you to understand this, to be a Christian that can sustain and last the long haul, you have to understand that peace is important. You can't leave it everywhere. And I like the scripture because how many of you have been in a situation where you bless somebody and you now all of a sudden you're bitter? Your bitterness can become a barrier for you to help someone because you was rejected when you were trying to help someone else. You became bitter, and now because you're bitter, you can't help someone else because someone before them caused you to be bitter. And so Jesus was telling the disciples that you can't do my work bitter. And that's where I'm going with the word today. We got too many bitter Christians. We have too many Christians that are upset about something and they lost their peace. And the reason why they lost their peace is because they got caught up in doing the signs and wonders and doing the healing and doing the counseling and didn't know that when they went into that presence or into that place, they had their peace with them. Have you ever been in a situation where you went there and you left there vexed? You left there upset? I want you to know that it's important that you understand that when you leave a house, you take your stuff back with you. That's what he's talking about this morning, because the church is not learning how to walk in strength. Reason why we can't walk in strength is because we left our peace behind somewhere where they're not going to take care of it. I like that. They will not take care of it. You're trying to be the super Christian. You keep on leaving your peace back and you walk in with bitterness, and bitterness is all over you. So Jesus was telling the disciples, he said, listen, you're going to be able to do all this stuff, but out of all this stuff, you still have to maintain your peace. We get caught up in the supernatural works. We get caught up because we can do these things now and don't know that wherever you go, even with the disciples, he says, you go in with it, you take it with you when you leave. So too many times we want to fight and we want to judge one another. But at the end in the 15th verse, it says, surely I say unto you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city or house. So look at your household, church. You're going into a house. Say you leave the house of God and you're blessed and you're excited about life and you're excited about the word of God. You go home and you allow the situations in your household to take away your peace. And there's too many Christians that are not holding on to peace. You constantly have to encourage them about being encouraged. It's because we don't understand that peace is a requirement of discipleship. That you have to learn that your peace is something you have to work to maintain. You can't keep on dropping it off everywhere and leaving it in anyone's hands. It's yours. Turn to somebody and say, it's mine. So that peace is yours. And it's up to you to give it away. So Jesus was telling the disciples that you're going to go and preach to somebody and they're going to like it. And then you're going to go to the next place and they might not receive it. But you can't get caught up in that kind of battle. So I'm going to talk about five types of people you can't help. Five types of people you can't help. All right? I want you to understand this because you're a man or woman of God, you're trying to go forward. And Jesus said to the disciples, I'm giving you all kind of things. But see, in every scenario where Jesus healed somebody or Jesus blessed somebody, he did the work. And he required that you do the work. Too many Christians, like even looking at Sunday morning, we got to beg people to come to church when God brought you through something and he delivered you from something. Instead of you saying, God, for God I live and for God I die, we put him on the sideline and don't realize that he is your present help. He's what's going to help you throughout your life. So the first part is, number one, you can't help people that does not think they need help. Number one. Number one, you can't help somebody that don't think they need help. You ever try to go to somebody and tell them something? Next type of person you can't help is people that need help but don't want it. So you're going in and you're trying to talk to them and they don't want it. The next type is You can't help people that don't want it yet. Make sure you note this. They don't want it yet. All right? And the reason why I want to talk about this is that I need you to know that we need Christ in a very present time, but a lot of times we're not ready to receive it. And you're trying to minister to somebody that does not want no help. And now you're leaving your peace behind because you keep on wasting your time trying to get them over. If they want to get over, they got to choose to make a choice. So the next type of person you can't help is you can't help people who don't want it from you. Say from you. I remember one time I was preaching and God moved mightily in the service and I was in coming down to pray for the people and a lot of other ministers came down as well. And one of the ladies said, I don't want her to pray for me. I want Pastor Mark only. She just said it out like that. She wasn't even nice about it. No, don't touch me. She said, I want Pastor Mark to pray for me. And I was, you know how you pray and you go. I was like, oh, Lord, this is deep. But the thing is she didn't want to receive help from that individual. Do you know there's Christians even in the church right now that don't respect one another, different ministers? And that's why I require the minister to walk a life of integrity, not of perfection, but of integrity. That means try to get it right. Try to change what's not right. Because people are watching and some of them are not ready to receive from you. And when someone is like that, you can't allow your peace to be lost. Because what we do is we say, well, they don't like me, so I'm leaving that church. When you were truly called and you were truly being used, but guess what? You have to step it up. That's all. They're not ready to receive from you because they might know that you ain't trying to do right now. You're just trying to have your own way and still preach and do everything else when you need to be sat down. So everyone must do the work. And so sometimes people can't be helped because they don't want it from you. And it's not, it can be your fault and sometimes it's not your fault. And that's why we as a people of God have to understand these things. The next one, it says, you can't help someone that won't do what it takes to get it. And this is where I'm going. They won't do what it takes to get it. And what does it take to get peace? What does it take to grow spiritually is change. But you can't get change if you won't apply it to your life. If your household is always bickering and fighting, and then the pastor comes in and counsels or talk with you and sit down with you and say, listen, this is how you're going to get to this peace or this, and then you totally don't do none of it, you're not doing what it takes to maintain or to get to the next level spiritually. This is why even with our own kids, sometimes it's better to let someone else minister to them because they don't want to hear you right now. It's just the way it happens. That's why even in the body of Christ, you know, God has called me to be the head of this household. So you need to be able to receive from your pastor, but I don't make it so that you can't talk to other ministers. You see what I mean? But I do require that the other ministers also be submissive to me. They can't just do what they want and preach into everyone's life and not listen to the word I say. It doesn't go down that way. That's not how it works with Jesus. So God makes us so that we're accountable to one another. But I want to ask you, what's going on with your peace, church? God has put this in my spirit that the church is walking around with no peace. And the reason why is because when you go to do good and evil is present, you become broken because somebody hurt you, somebody offended you. You didn't even realize that. No, God is building you. So when you are being built and you're trying to do something in the name of the Lord, and now you're bitter, you're bitter, so now you're bitter, so now you're not ready to receive from nothing, and now you can't be teaching anyone, because guess what? That spirit of bitterness will come through your ministering. And this is why Jesus told the disciples, out of everything, he said, when you go to these different towns, you begin to sow into their life, knock on the door and check out their household. If they're ready to receive, leave peace behind. And that's one thing about you as ministers, you can actually bring peace to a place. But if they don't receive it, you take it. Now, that's why, you ever hear the scripture, the saying where it says here to wipe the dust off your feet? Do you know what that means? It means don't let it bother you. So you and I got to take everything serious. Take it serious. Take your peace serious and also maintain it. So don't leave it behind. And this is for those ministers, men and women of God. Do the work, but still bring the blessings home. Don't do the work and bless everyone else and leave your peace in their house. You come home and you're a mess. Because you left the peace there, but you won't bring it with you into your own house. So there's something that God wants us to do as men and women of God and as husbands and wives. This is for each and every one of us. You can't remain married if you don't work on peace. And so you can't help somebody that don't want to receive from you. Now, if you turn with me to Romans 8, 36, and I want you to know is that coming to church is about what? Growth. And about commitment to God so that you maintain your relationship. Maintain your peace. Praise God. I hope that you enjoyed the message. Take your peace back. Please come visit us at 1850 Elm Street, Manchester, New Hampshire. Sunday morning services start at 10 a.m. Also, we have Wednesday night Bible studies at 7 p.m. Come be part of what God is doing.